be like him, and that's what we are striving to do. Give me a hot second here. Let me do something real quick. I need to call into this broadcast on another phone. Give me a hot second. Let me take care of that. I pray everybody has had a blessed week, and individuals who are in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be, we greet you in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. If you are in any of the lands that we are broadcasting into, we want to welcome you all. I don't think that there's any new land that we have opened up in this week, but we want to welcome everybody in Afghanistan, everybody in Algeria, Belgium, Brazil, Canada, Colombia, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Ghana, Ireland, Japan, Mexico, the Netherlands, Nigeria, Poland, Portugal, Russia, South Africa, South Korea, Sweden, Tajikistan, Thailand, the United Kingdom, the United States, and Vietnam. We greet you all in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, and we pray that the word of the Most High is going out in your lands and that you continue to support and bless this ministry wherever you may be at in the world, for these are the last days. And we want to make sure that the gospel of the kingdom goes out as the most directed in these last days. So we welcome you all, whether you're in Pal Talk, on Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We are going to go ahead and start this Sabbath off with our statement of faith, and then we will pray in. We will do the norm, and I pray that the sound for everybody is okay. If you are having a problem hearing, let me know. As I'm trying to blend a couple of systems together, I don't really hear an echo right now, you know, we are trying to blend several systems together, so I pray that it is working and we're not getting any echoes or anything like that. And I still want to do this. I'm not going to do that. Sound is really good. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. So let us proceed with what we were doing. We're going to do our statement of faith. For those of you who are new, you want to have your Bible out, because we do read a lot of scriptures, and I want to make sure that you understand that we do read a lot of word as part of this ministry, but most Hebrew Israelite camps read a lot of scripture, and that's something that is it's new for a lot of people who are coming from the churches, because you usually get one or two scriptures and then they make a sermon out of it. But you know, we want to go and tell you, not tell you, but show you in the word of the Most High, so that you can read what thus saith Yah Elohim. And Yah is the name of the Most High from Psalm 68 and 4. So we're not using any strange names. And Elohim simply means God in Hebrew. And there's a reason that I use that, Elohim instead of God. So just so that, you know, you're not feeling strange or what is this strange language that they're speaking. Those are some of the rules that we use. There's another word I'm looking for, but it's not coming to me. So we're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith. We want to say happy Sabbath to everyone. This is a day that Yah Elohim has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. for we have lived to see another Sabbath. This is a Sabbath that we shall not see again. Well, if we want to see another Sabbath, we have to wait until next week. So let us enjoy and honor the Most High in this His day as He has commanded. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem, as we have been commanded. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians.
Welcome to All Tech Lansing.
Somebody who's speaking, you need to mute yourself. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you, Yah, and we lift you up. We magnify your name. We extol thee, Father, for you are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. There is none like you, O Yah, and another will we not bow down and praise, but we will praise you and worship you and you alone. For you are our Elohim. You are our Redeemer. You are our Savior. You are our everything, Father. And so we just honor you and keep your commandments as you have stated, Father. Hallelujah. 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 10,000 praises to you, O Yah. 10,000 praises times 10,000 praises to you, Father. For you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health in today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would return from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. So, Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, hear our supplications and our prayers. Deliver us from this captivity. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call in Messiah, that they would hear your voice, and that they would come and obey your voice and keep your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work. that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Let us go to the book of Exodus, the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 46. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land, whether they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. So return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thy eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, whom when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people of the earth, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, and to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day, for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other Elohim which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and the to do in the land, which I, Elohim of your fathers, giveth thee to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. The book of Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. The book of Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. The book of John, 15 and verse 15. The book of John, chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. And let us have a couple of praise songs for this Shabbat.
Everything I do is for you. I give you the praise and the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love. It is the story. Your words jump at me like a picture. The perfect you are in the scriptures. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that. Check all my members, cause I gotta be in that number. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that.
Figure it out. I mean, where you gonna go? Where you gonna go?
Happy Sabbath to everyone. The name of this precept is We Shall Be Like Him. And this is part of the discipleship series because we are always endeavoring. I know we all love the Most High and that we love Messiah and that we are endeavoring to become like him. And he gives us the criteria for becoming like him. And so I want to go over that criteria as part of the foundations of discipleship to define this for us so that we understand that what the Most High and what Messiah says concerning this, you know, this is something that we have to take very serious, our walk with him. And so we need to know what he requires. You know, sometimes, you know, we feel like what we offer should be acceptable. But let's just see what Messiah himself said is required, okay, and so that we know what we must do, the areas that we need to strengthen ourselves in and to improve in. So first of all, the definition of a disciple, simple definition, is a student that is trying to become like their master, like their teacher. That's a disciple. And that you agree to fall up under the discipline of your teacher or your master. Okay, that's a disciple. So you're becoming like your master. Now, in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 9, and a couple of verses we're going to read in here, number one, you got to understand that this gospel was not given to the masses to understand. So everything that is in the book is not given to everyone to understand. And if you can understand it, if you can understand the truth of it, then blessed are you. Because everybody can read these words and not come to the truth. So let's read this. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 9. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? I'll tell them plainly. Speak plainly to the people so they understand what you're saying. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. It's not given to everyone. He didn't come so everybody could understand this good news. If we are blatantly walking in sin, if we are not being obedient to him, he's not talking to us. This good news is not for us. It's for his faithful. And so we have to find out, how do we get back in his good graces? How do we get back on his good side? This is what he came for. Verse 12. For whosoever has, to him shall it be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So people hear this gospel, but they don't always understand what they're hearing. And you gotta understand that. You can read these scriptures and you can come to your own understanding. They heard Messiah, but they didn't understand what he was saying. They never understood. And he said, and his disciples said, hey, why are you speaking to them in riddles? So this is given to the ones that the Most High chooses. And to everybody else, it is not given to them. So a lot of what I say, you may or may not understand. I pray that you do. But you may not. And a lot of people who hear what is being taught can't understand it, because it's not given to them. And I want us to understand this, so that when we read the rest of these verses concerning discipleship, you got to be able to hear what Messiah is saying. And then you got to be willing to do it, to be a good disciple. So let's go down. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. The book of Matthew chapter 6. And let's get verse 33. Because we want to see what Messiah said. You want to be his disciple? You want to follow him? We are supposed to be becoming, quote unquote, like him, Christ-like. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek you first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So as a good disciple, the first thing that you need to be seeking is the kingdom. Got to be first in your life. And the Most High in his righteousness, not our own righteousness, but his righteousness. What is good? Not what we think, not what somebody else thinks, but what he says is righteous. That's gotta be first and the most important thing in your life. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to get verse 44 through 46. First, seek the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness. Got to be the first thing in your life, okay? Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 through 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, that the which when a man has found, he hides, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So the kingdom of heaven has got to be the most precious thing in your life, the most valuable thing in your life. And getting the kingdom got to be the most important thing in your life, secondary. Can't say, oh, let me go out here and get my education and let me get a good job and let me make my riches first. And then let me seek the kingdom of the Most High. Let the Most High be an afterthought. Messiah says, you got to value the kingdom so much that you would be willing to give your all, to sell all that you have to achieve it, to get it. Got to be our mentality. 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And who, when he has found one pearl of great price, when he sold all that he had and bought it, went and sold all that he had. Again, the pearl is representing the kingdom. And that pearl is of so great a price that he would be willing to sell everything to get the kingdom, to give his all. We got to have that same mentality if we want to follow and be good disciples of Messiah. Let's go to Psalms chapter 119 and 2. The book of Psalms chapter 119 and 2. Psalms 119 and 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimony and that seek him with the whole heart. So you got to first seek the kingdom and Elohim and his righteousness. The kingdom's got to be the most valuable thing in your life. And then you got to seek the Most High with your whole heart. Not a piece of you. Not 70% of you or 80% of you or 90% of you or 95%. Whole means 100. All of you. Got to be the most important thing. Got to seek him with your whole heart. You want to be his disciple? You got to seek him with everything. So that means that you can't be, you know, halfway doing this. You can't be given the Most High leftovers. Most High, well, this is most important to me right now. This thing right here is important to me right now. And I need to, hold on a minute, let me close out this program. I thought I had. This is the most important thing to me, your kingdom. And I'm going to seek it with what? My whole heart. And I'm going to seek it first. That's what it's going to take. Okay? Let's go to Luke chapter 14. The book of Luke chapter 14. And we're going to get, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 24 first. The book of Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yah, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. If you know that you're the people of the Most High, you can't return unto him halfway. That's what the problem was with our forefathers. They never gave themselves 100% to him. He says we got to return unto him with our whole heart. So we have to all be willing to do that. We say we love him. We say we love him. But then we don't want to give him our whole heart. He's not accepting anything less than that, than our whole heart. And so I pray we can hear this and understand it and do it, because this is what he requires. Okay. Our whole heart. Got to be the most important thing to him. He's got to be the most important thing to us. And we got to seek his kingdom first. Let's go to Luke chapter 14 now. The book of Luke chapter 14. Because I know that, you know, these things are, they are a paradigm change. We just have to believe what is written. And if we say we love him, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we say we love him, then he says, we got to do all these other things too. Luke chapter 14, verses 26, starting in verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father, and his mother, and his wife, and his children, and his brethren, and his sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. It hasn't changed today, man or woman. We can't put anybody or anything before Messiah or the Most High. We can't put anybody before them. So whatever he's asking of us, we got to do it with our whole heart. It's got to be the most important thing in our life. or we're just going through the motions because he doesn't have to settle for second best. You're not willing to make me first, even above your own self. You cannot be my disciple. So we got to know that this is what he wants. Verse 27. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. If you are not willing to do what it takes to give your all, it's just you can't be my disciple. And so when we want to give him, you know, what we want to give, and he's supposed to be satisfied with that, it's like you telling the person that you have made your mate in life, telling them what you want and what you expect, and then they don't give you what you want, and then expect that you're going to be happy with it. When they told you, if they know, a lot of times they don't know, but when they tell you this is what I require to be happy, and then you don't give that to them, then they're not going to be happy. The same way you tell somebody exactly what you want, and they don't give it to you, you're not going to be happy if you know that that's what's going to make you happy. You're not going to be happy if they don't give it to you. The Most High is no different. Messiah is no different. He says, this is what I want. I want your whole heart. And if you love anybody more than you love me, even your own self, you cannot be my disciple. So let's hear what he's saying. You know, the creator of the universe telling you what's required, then if you don't do it, then who's that on? Is that on him? If he rejects you, it's not on him. It's going to be on you because he's telling you what he requires. You just got to believe it and do it. Verse 28. For which of you intend to build a tower, sit is not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Least happily, after he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. What he's saying is simply this. When you say that you're going to serve him, when you say that you love him, and then you say you're his disciple, you're a follower of him, you need to consider the cost. What is it going to take to actually do that? What is it going to take to actually follow him with your whole heart? What is it going to take to make him number one in your life? He says you need to consider the cost. Or if you're going to start to build this relationship and you're not going to be able to finish, you're not going to be able to complete it because you're coming into it with the wrong expectation. You're coming into it with lesser of an expectation than I expect of you. And if you want to think that, accept it. When I've told you, I want your whole heart. You got to seek me first. I got to be the most valuable thing, person. The kingdom has to be the most valuable place you want to have. I got to be the most valuable person in your life. Father, mother, sister, brother, husband, wife, child, cannot be before me. Not even your own life can come before me. This is the mentality that he wants, and this is what he wants us to do. And lastly, drop down to verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has cannot be my disciple. You can't want the things of this world more than you want him. You can't want fame and fortune, the big house and the five cars and all this stuff that the world tries to sell you that, oh, this is what matters. He says, no, I got to be first. And if you're not willing to give me your all and give up all for me, you cannot be my disciple. You cannot be my follower. Now, these are not the words of Brother Miles had written, and this is what he's telling us. And I want each and every one of us to make it into the kingdom, and I don't want him to look at any of us and say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I knew you not. Yeah, you was using my name, and you were casting out demons, and you were laying hands on the sick, and you were doing miracles, but I never knew you. I never knew you. So he wants all of us. And if we want to be good disciples, we want to be good followers, then we got to be willing to give our all. Got to be willing to give your whole heart. He's got to be first. Number one, unero pneumo. No, that's not right. Good Greek. Number one, let me just stick to the English. All right, so let's get into this precept on this evening. Because people always say that there's not a description of the Most High in the scriptures, Messiah, that we are the sons, we are his children. And in order to be in his presence, we don't just get converted to a spiritual being to be in his presence. We get a spiritual body, but that spiritual body has to be like his. And so he describes his body, and he tells us that we are going to be like him. Okay, so let's go get our reference first for this precept, for this lesson. Because we have so much to look forward to and so much to lose that you have to ask yourself. And I want each of you to ask yourself this. Who or what is worth you losing the kingdom? Who or what is worth you losing the kingdom of Elohim? Losing the promise that he had given to us. What could possibly be worth that? He's already told you. Your mother can't be more important than that. Your father can't be more important than that. Your husband, your wife, your children, not even your own self can be more important than that. So what he is promising to give, he said, that's greater than you. It's greater than anybody in your life. So you have to pursue it that way. Let's go to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John, chapter 3. 1 John, chapter 3, and let's get verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. None of us have ever seen a real saint in our true form. None of us have seen us in the body that he has prepared for us. None of us seen the change that we're going to go through. But we know that we shall see him when he shall appear. And we shall be like him. We shall be like him. So he says, beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim. Now are we the sons of the Most High. We are children of the Most High. But it does not yet appear what we shall be. It doesn't yet appear. We don't look like we're going to look. And he didn't look like to them what he actually looks like, except for one time on the mountain of transfiguration. They saw him in his true form. And in order to inherit his kingdom, we have to be in the same form as him. And so we're going to look at him so that you understand to be in his presence, you couldn't be in his presence in his true form right now, or else you would be consumed. We would all be consumed if he came back in his true form and appeared before us before he changed us. before he converted our bodies. We would be consumed. So he has to change us and give us a body like his, him as he is. They didn't see him in his true form. And when he did show himself in his true form, he didn't show himself fully, but just enough for them to see his glory. So we're going to look at that this on tonight, because this is what we have to look forward to. And I say to us all the time, and I'm going to say it again right now, if being a son or a child of Elohim, a child of the Most High, if that's not enough to make you stop sinning, then nothing is going to make you stop sinning. Nothing. Because if you don't value who you are in the Most High, that he has made you his child, and that you're supposed to represent him, and that you're supposed to act like him, you're supposed to learn of him and act like him, if that's not enough to make you stop sinning, nothing is going to make you stop sinning. And you don't value your birthright. You don't value it. It's not important enough to you to stop you from doing wrong. It's not important enough to you to make you act like him. Understand that. So all this, that's why for spiritual wellness, stop looking into all the little different causes of, you know, those things that afflict us because of slavery and because of, you know, racism and just being mentally ill, spiritually ill. Stop looking into all those things, because the truth of the matter is you got to first realize, if the Most High has saved you and made you his child, then you have everything that you need. And you need to value that so that you can stop sinning. I'm a child of the Most High. I don't act that way anymore. I don't do those things anymore. I don't walk in those ways because of who my Father is. It's not important enough to you, then you're not going to stop sinning. So I don't look at all those things anymore. I just simply tell you who you are and how you should value that. That it should be important to you. And that you would walk in that. Because that should be enough. I'm a child of the Most High. He thought enough of me to make me his child. Look, and let me say this. Not every human being that was ever born is his child. And because you were born, don't make you his child. That is just a flat-out lie. Just because you were born a human being doesn't make you a child of the Most High. He has to choose you. And you have to be willing to walk in his way. You have to be willing to obey your Heavenly Father. He says you got to do it with your whole heart. It's got to be the most important thing to you. And if that's not enough to stop you from sinning, then nothing's going to stop you from sinning. Nothing's going to make you walk in his way. This is what he wants. This is what he requires. This is what he's going to have. Now, if we want to be like him, if we want to get converted and get that new body when he returns and be like him, then that's what we got to do. So beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. He's going to change us in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. One minute you are mortal, the next minute you are immortal. One minute you look like you do now, and the next minute you're not going to look like this. The next second, in the blinking of an eye. For we shall see him as he is. He's going to convert this earth, and he's going to come in his true form and the elements, the mountains are going to melt. The seas are going to boil away. The atmosphere around this planet is going to leave. But we got to understand, in order for us to live in his kingdom, we're going to have to be like him, designed to live in the environment that he inhabits. Right now, he stepped into our environment as a man. He wasn't in his true form. He said, but I need to put on this body as a man and come and die for man, my crown creation, my child. And then I'm going to step back into eternity. And when I come back, all those that I have chosen, I'm going to convert them into my form. So now this environment is going to be where I dwell at, in my natural form. And you can't do that in your normal flesh and blood body. So he says, we're going to be like him. Go to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 22. And we're going to be getting verses 13 through 21. Revelation chapter 22, verses 13 through 21. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments. It's important that you keep the commandments, the statutes, the laws, the commandments, the ordinances of the Most High. You don't want disobedient children. Disobedient children get punished. And in this case, as a eternal punishment. It's not a slap on the wrist and go to your room and don't come out until I tell you so. It's not a whipping with a belt. I'm going to give you eternal life. And I'm going to throw you into that fire that was made for Satan and his angels to afflict spirits. I'm going to give you your spirit body. And then I'm going to throw you in that fire that's designed to torment spirits. It's not like the fire that we have here today. It's not like natural fire. Because an angel can walk in fire. A demon can walk in fire and it don't affect them. It's a natural element in this earth. It don't affect them. So he has made a special type of fire that affects spirits. He says, now, if you want to follow after Satan, then I'm going to give you a spiritual body and I'm going to throw you in the same fire that I'm going to throw him into. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're going to be in anguish. You're going to be in pain, extreme pain. And you can't die. And you can't burn up. So he says, you got to want this. You got to want me. And all those that don't really want me, this is their end. But we want to look at what we're going to receive if we do good. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life. He didn't say, blessed are they that try to do his commandments. He didn't say, blessed are they that are disobedient to his commandments to have a right to the tree of life. He said, blessed are they that do. He says, you must be a doer of the word and not just a hearer of the word. A doer of the word. So blessed are they that do his commandments. Not that have their own understanding, okay, have a kind of an understanding that doesn't get it with him. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gate into the city. Ain't going to be no law breakers in the city. Ain't going to be no disobedient people in the city, because being disobedient is a lawbreaker. You don't obey his voice. You don't keep his commandments. He says outside, or without, outside the city, are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers and murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. But it's really anyone who commits sin, sin of it. And the people that he's talking about are those people outside the city are in the lake of fire. That's what he's talking about. That's who out. That's where the lake of fire is, outside the city of New Jerusalem, the city that comes down from heaven. And he says, if you obey my commandments, then you can enter in through the gate into the city. If you keep my commandments, then you're going to have a right to the tree of life. But if you don't, you're outside the city. You're in the lake of fire with dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Any unclean person, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, talking about anybody that breaks his commandments and are unrepentant, who don't receive salvation, who get their names wiped out of the Lamb's Book of Life. You're in the lake. I, Yeshua, have sent my angels to testify unto thee the thing. Church ain't telling you this, something wrong. If your camp ain't telling you this, something wrong. Because he said he sent his angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You can take up the water of life freely if you obey his commandments. If you love him, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And not just the Ten Commandments either. Because he has more than just, but those are the main ones, the tenets. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, Elohim shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, Elohim shall take away his part out of the book of life. So I'm not going to lie to you about this stuff. I'm not going to add to it or take away from it. Because if you add to it or take away from, you get your name erased out of the book of life. That means you're going into the lake. And so we don't want to do that. If any man shall take away from the words, let's see. Verse 20. He which testified these things said, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Yeshua HaMashiach. The grace of our Master, Yeshua HaMashiach, be with you all. Amen. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. The book of Revelation, chapter 1. And we want to start looking at Messiah, because we're going to be like him. He says, I am, Revelation, chapter 1, verse 4. John. To the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and is to come, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. There's only one throne in heaven, and that's the throne that the Most High sits on. So when was the Most High When was he? He which is, the Most High is. When was the Most High a was? I was here, but now I'm not. And which is to come? This is speaking of Messiah, the Most High in flesh. He tells us all through the scriptures who he is. I am he which is and which was and which is to come. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne, that will be the Most High. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. The book of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, ending, saith Yah, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. There is only one Almighty. Messiah is telling you in Revelation chapter 1 that he is the Almighty. I am he which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. There's only one Almighty. And so we got to understand who we're dealing with here. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the ending. Go to Revelation chapter 2. Because we're supposed to be like Messiah. We're supposed to be like Christ, the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. We're supposed to receive a body like his. We're supposed to want this with all our heart, with all our might. So we got to know what it is that we're looking for. We got to know what it is that we're working for. We got to know who it is that we're working for and what he says is acceptable to him and what is not. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead. The first and the last, the Almighty, which is and which was and is to come, and is alive. Who is Messiah? Messiah is the Most High in flesh, which is and which was and which is to come, which was dead and alive. Write and tell them, the one that came and died for your sins, the one who paid for the price for you with his own blood. This is the testimony of him. So the Most High wants us to know that he stepped into eternity. He stepped into, no, let me say that. He stepped in, out of eternity into his creation. And he came and died for his children, you and I. And he says, when you see me in this form, in this flesh, I want you to know me as the Son of Elohim, the Son of God. But it's really me, God. Now, the book of Revelation is my testimony to what I did in the flesh. And I'm going to tell it to you from the position, tell you who I am. I am the Almighty. And if you can hear this, then you know that there's only one Elohim. There's only one God. He says, and you're going to be like him. If we are children of the Most High, if we are children of Elohim, beloved, now are you the sons of Elohim. And he's got to elevate us to be like him. He's promising you that he's going to elevate you. And you got to value that. That's why I say, if that's not enough to make you stop sinning, nothing will make you stop sinning. It's not precious. Not valuable to you. Go to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, starting in verse 4. We're going to get verses 4 and 6. You might as well get verses 4 through 6. Isaiah chapter, sorry, my bad. I read that wrong out of my own notes. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 4. The book of Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 4. Who has wrought it or worked it and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? Who has done this? Called the generations from the very beginning of what's going to happen. He said, I spoke these things before they ever were. Who has done this? I, Yah, the first and the last. I am he. Out of Isaiah chapter 41. But in Revelation, he told you, I am the first and I am the last. I am he which was and which is and which is to come, the Almighty. I'm the one that ordered things and told about them before they ever happened. The same Elohim that's talking in the Old Testament is the same Elohim that's talking in Revelation. I am the first and I am the last. Isaiah chapter 44 and 6. Saith Yah, the King of Israel, and his Israel Redeemer, Yah of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. And beside me, there is no Elohim. He didn't say besides us. Beside me, there is no Elohim. There is no other God. And what you have to ask yourself, if this is the Most High Elohim, as you know, it's the Father talking, he said, I don't know a son. Not as God. There is no other Elohim besides me. Now let's flip that. If this is Messiah, Yeshua, talking as the Son in heaven, he said he don't know a father. And he said, there is no other besides me. Now, I can tell you that this is the Most High as we knew him only as the Father in Torah, in the prophet. He's saying, I don't know any other God, and I don't have a son, not in heaven as Elohim working alongside me. That's to come in the future. So he says he doesn't know any other God. I am the first, and I am the last, and besides me, there is no God. So when he says we're going to be like him, we got to believe that, first of all, that he is who he says that he is. I don't know no other one. Go to Isaiah 48 and 12. The book of Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my cause. I am he, I am the first, and I am the last. They only dealt with the Most High. I think in Exodus chapter 3 or 6, somebody can find it. Exodus chapter 3 or chapter 6, he says, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew me as the Almighty. Messiah told us in Revelation he's the Almighty. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew me as the Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And he, that same Elohim is telling you, I don't know any other God. There is no other one. Go to Revelation chapter 1. The book of Revelation chapter 1. And let's get verses 17 and 18. Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Same one that's in Isaiah telling you he's the first, same one in Revelation telling you, I am the first and I am the last. I don't know any other God. And when I came in the flesh, you didn't see me as I am. But you're going to see me as I am. And when you see me as I am, I'm going to have to change you to be like I am. My children have to be like I am. He's not just talking about righteous and perfect. And he said, be ye holy for what? I am holy. Be ye perfect for I am perfect. He says, you have to be that way, but you also have to be converted to my form. So I pray we can hear this. Verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead. When was the Most High ever dead? When was the Almighty ever dead? 3 days in that tomb. 3 days in that tomb. And behold, I am alive evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Now we know that as Messiah, but he's telling you, hey, I'm the Almighty. I'm the one that told you from the very beginning, I declared the generation of everything before it ever even happened. And I don't know another God. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Tells us this over and over and over again because he wants us to know who we're dealing with. He wants us to know that his promises are sure. He wants us to know that he says, I'm going to make you like me. I want you to dwell in my presence. In my presence and in my form. In my natural form. Because if I appear to you the way that I really am, and you stay the way that you are, I will consume you. You couldn't stand in my presence. I'm a consuming fire. I got to get that verse. I'm a consuming fire. See, we are always taught that the devil is fire. But the Most High says, no, I'm the one that's fire. I'm a consuming fire. Let's get this so you can read it. Say, Brother Miles said. So hold on a minute. Let me get this first. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24. For Yah thy Elohim is a consuming fire, even a jealous Elohim. So when we start reading the rest of these descriptions of him, understand that his appearance and his likeness is as like fire, and he himself is a consuming fire. And if he appeared before us in his natural state, and we were in this state, he would consume us. So we got to know that we got to be changed. The book of Exodus, chapter 34. The book of Exodus, chapter 34 and verse 28. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 28. And he was there with Yah 40 days and 40 nights. And he did neither eat bread nor drink water. He wrote upon the tables of the words of the covenant of the Ten Commandments. Now, this is talking about Moses being up on the mountain. And when Moses was in the presence of the Most High, in a form that the Most High, that he could be in the presence of the Most High without being consumed. You're going to find out that Moses began to glow. And when he came down out of that mountain, he was glowing. Being in the presence of the Most High. And I really do believe that Adam and Eve in the garden, that they glowed like Moses, since the Most High walked among Adam and Eve in the garden. They were in his presence. But after man sinned, he said, whoa, wait a minute. Y'all in a sinful state now? I can't appear in this form in front of you, or else I will consume you. So let's keep reading. Go to verse 29. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 29. And it came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not, he knew not, that the skin of his face shone. And that word shone there means to glow. He didn't know that his face was glowing. While he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. It glowed. And they were afraid to come nigh or near to him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. These people ran. Moses came from that mountain glowing like a glow stick. They looked at him and ran. Moses had to call, hey, where y'all going? Come back here. And they returned to him. And afterwards, all the children of Israel came near. And he gave them in commandment all that Yah had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. So when you are standing in the presence of the Most High, in your state right now, and he doesn't appear in his natural state, but he appeared in a state close to it because it caused Moses to what? Glow. Being in his presence 40 days and 40 nights. Moses came down from that mountain glowing. shining like a light bulb. But I believe that that glow was like a reddish orange. And I'll show you where we're going to get that from. That he glowed like he was reddish orange. But he's glowing coming down from the mountain. And the people run. Now, this is how you and I are going to become. I want you to hear this. For we shall be like him. Moses had to cover up so the people couldn't see what was the end of this thing. When we get our new bodies, we're going to glow too. Just like Moses glowed. Let's continue. Verse 33. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 33. Till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. Let me cover this up. Because they staring at me like I'm something weird. And they know I'd have been in the presence of the Most High. And this is what they're supposed to be looking like. Because the Most High would have walked among them, but they got afraid. No, Moses, you go talk to him. If we stand in his presence, we're going to die. But when Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights in the presence of the Most High, he glowed. And it's not like, you know, somebody say, oh, you just all happy, you just glowing. No, he literally, for real, glowed. And we're going to glow too. Understand this. All right, let me go back to verse 33. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. And when Moses went in before Yah to speak with him, he took the veil off. So in front of the people, he veiled up. When he went in front of the Most High, he took the veil off. Until he came out. And he came out, he spake unto the children of Israel, that which he was commanded. But the children of Israel couldn't stand to be around him without, you know, looking at him like he was a freak. So he veiled up. But that's what he didn't want them look also looking through to the end of this is what you're supposed to end up like. And this is what we're supposed to end up like. We're going to be like him. Not like Moses, but like the Most High. He glows. And we're going to look at this. We're going to glow. When Moses stood in his presence for 40 days and 40 nights, he began to glow. So when we receive our spiritual body, when he drains the blood from this body, and blood cannot inherit the kingdom, but flesh and bone can. Can't have blood in the kingdom. You're going to get a new body and you're going to glow. For we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like he is. Our Most High Elohim glows. And I don't think he glows white. You know how they had on the movie? See, Charlton Heston put his hand inside his sleeve and pull it out, supposed to turn white and leprous. And they had it, because he was white, they made his hand glow white, like white. The Most High, we're going to look at his color. So you'll know what color you're going to glow. We're going to look at color, what color did Messiah glow. It's written. All we got to do is read it. Go to Matthew chapter 28. Look at this angel. Okay? Look at this angel. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verses 2 through 4. And behold, there was a great earthquake. This is that Messiah's resurrection. And for the angel of Yah descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance, his appearance was like lightning. What do we know that looks like lightning? Electricity. So look like electricity. They didn't know what electricity was, so they said it was like what? Lightning. Lightning is electricity. But could you imagine a being sitting on top of a rock and you come up and they look like they're made out of electricity, they're made out of lightning? We think that's science fiction stuff. But this is how this angel looked. And his raiment or his clothing was white as snow. And for the fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. You and I probably would do the same thing. You walk up to this tomb. Here's this being. You don't know who or what it is. But they ain't human. And they look like electricity. Just shooting out their clothes and out of their head and out of their hands, their eyes. So we're not going to be the only ones glowing, because we see here there's an angel, at least one, that his countenance, his appearance was as lightning. And these men fell down like they were dead. We don't want to have nothing to do with him. That's how they looked at Moses. We don't want, the elders of Israel saw Moses going and say, hey, we don't want to have nothing to do with him. They ran. So it's not just the angels, but we're going to glow too. Let's go to Matthew chapter 17. The book of Matthew chapter 17. Let's start in verse 1. We're going to read down through verse 7. Matthew chapter 17, starting in verse 1. And after 6 days, Yeshua taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart from everybody, apart from them, and was transfigured before them. He changed before them, right in front of their eyes. And his face did shine. How? As the sun. Now, when you look at the sun, you see a yellowish color. When we look at the sun through the Earth's atmosphere, we see kind of a bright yellowish color. And you can't really look at it to really get the true, you know, the true essence of the color. But when they actually take pictures of the sun is not high yellow like that, like the light we see coming off of it. The sun is reddish yellow, like a lava, like hot molten lava coming out of a volcano. That's how the sun looks. And so we're going to look at this in the scripture and prove it. And this is how you and I are going to glow. We're going to get a body just like this, and we're going to glow too. Verse 4. Let me read verse 2 completely all the way. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, a reddish yellow color. And his raiment was white as light. His clothing was white, but he didn't shine white. His color was like the sun. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Yeshua, Master, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias. He's supposed to be, Moses and Elias represent the law and the prophets. Now, this was a handoff, really, is what's going on here. Because Moses told them, another prophet shall the Most High give you. To him shall you listen. He was talking about Messiah. To him shall you listen to. And in the scripture, it tells us that to the law and to the prophets, to the law and to the prophets, if they speak any word other than this, it is not true. So we have Moses representing the law. We have Elias representing the prophet. And here's the handover. Here's the one we've been telling you about. Here's the one Moses spoke about. And here's the one that the prophets have been telling you about is coming. And even Isaiah told you that your God, your Elohim was coming. Behold, Israel, your Elohim, your God. They should have known who was coming. They should have known who was there. But he showed Peter and John up on the mountain of transfiguration. Let me show you just who I am. But here is the handoff. You have the law of Moses, and you have the prophet. And they're telling you to listen to me. Hear what I have to say and do what I say. That's why when Messiah said, hey, if you love father or mother, sister or brother, even your own self more than you love me, you can't be my disciple. Because you're saying that you love them more than you love the Most High Elohim. You're saying that you love those people or whoever it is more than you love your creator. And he said he's not having it. So you got to love me more than you love your own self. So he goes up on the mountain to show them who he is. And they see him shining. He says, and you're going to be like me. How I'm going to appear. When we look at the description of his return, he's going to cause the sun and the moon to go dark so that the only light we see is him. And we're going to see him in the sky, shining, on fire. That's how you're going to know it's me. Ain't nobody else going to come this way. You know, the devil might tell you some stuff, but he ain't going to try to imitate me this way. I'm going to appear in the cloud, and every man, every person shall see me, because I'm going to cause the sun and the moon to go dark, and you ain't going to have a choice but to see me. That's how you're going to know it's him. He says, if they say, hey, look over there, he's in the desert. No, look over there. He's in the forest. Oh, look over there. He's in this city. He said, don't believe him. When I come back, you're going to know that it's me. Because I'm going to appear in the sky. And I'm going to be the only light in the sky. I'm going to come in my natural form, shining. And you're going to know it's me. I'm not coming through the womb. Again. And you're going to see me as I am. And I'm going to change you to look like me. Do we believe him? I can't wait for that day. What and who would you allow to take that from you? What and who would be more important than getting this? Just keep moving. Said, Then answered Peter and said unto Yeshua, Master, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make thee three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore or very afraid. And Yeshua came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. You are seeing me in my natural element, as close as I can allow you to. Get up. It's going to be a testimony. See, if they had never saw this, we would never known that he shines like that. You'd have to tell us another way. And he says, you're going to be like me. Go back to, we don't go back to 1 John. I'm just going to say it, quote it. Beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He gave Peter and John a glimpse of that. Shining as bright as the sun. And that's how we're going to shine. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, starting in verse 10. And we're going to get verse 10 through 17. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 10 through 17. I was in the Spirit on Yah's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, this is John, and he's in a vision. And I want to explain some about visions. In a vision, the Most High can portray himself and different things in different forms to convey a message. Okay? So we're going to look at Revelation and what he said, and we're going to go to Daniel, because these are all visions. But he gives them the same vision. So let's read this. 11. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst, or in the middle of the seven golden candlesticks, one that looked unto the Son of Man, one that looked like the Son of Man. This is always used as a term for Messiah or a prophet. Now we know he's talking about Messiah here. Clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the paps around his waist with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, and as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. Now he's seeing a vision of Messiah in heaven. And the description he's being given, first, white like snow. White like wool. And white like snow. It's woolly and white like snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as they were burned in a furnace. Now, you know, my brothers want to use this description to make Messiah black. And, you know, the other races sort of ignore this and want to make him white, just paint him whatever color they want to paint him. But the Most High's color is burnt brass. When you put brass into a furnace, it starts to glow. Red is on. That's what color he is. Orange. Like lava. He don't look like you and I. And as if they burned in a furnace, his feet were glowing, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice was as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sunshine. He was glowing. His countenance was as the sun shining, glowing bright like the sun. But his color was like red and orange with white hair. And his eyes looked like fire, a flame of fire. Put that image in your mind. Not black, not white, not brown, but a glowing hot lava. That color, molten rock, molten steel, that's his color. And he glows like the sun. Verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet dead and laid at his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and I am the last. The same one that said it in Isaiah, the Most High, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, I don't know any other God. That's why I said when people read these scriptures, they'll come up with two gods. He'll come up with three gods, but the Most High told us he's the only God, and there's only one, and there's only one Almighty, and he's doing everything. He's got to let you see that. He's got to give you that understanding, or else you'll read these scriptures, and you'll come out with two or three gods. You'll come out with three Elohim, but he's letting us know there's only one. I am the first and I am the last. And besides me, there is no Elohim. There is no God. Messiah can't claim to be the Almighty. And the Almighty in Torah said, I don't know any other God. Unless Messiah is that same what? God. He says, and you're going to be like me. I'm going to make you like me. Go to Daniel chapter 7, because he's consistent all through this book. Daniel chapter 7. We're going to get verses 9 and 10. The book of Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. But see, this bothered Daniel. It bothered him. And when you read the end of this, you know, the end of this chapter, Daniel tells you this bothered him. Because he's looking at a vision. And in the vision, the Son of Man was brought before the Ancient of Days. We know the Son of Man as Messiah. And we call the Ancient of Days who? The Most High. But we just read a description of Messiah in Revelation chapter 1. It said his hair was white like wool. White like wool. And his eyes a flame of fire. Let's read about the Ancient of Days in Daniel chapter 7. I beheld, starting at verse 9, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Now we know we're talking specifically about the Ancient of Days, whose garment was white as snow, like Messiah. And his hair on his head was pure like wool, like Messiah. And his throne was like a fiery throne, and his wheels as burning fire. Everything about the Most High is like fire. Even his color. like fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from him. Thousands of thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the judgment was set. Now I want you to underline, and the judgment was set. And the books were opened. Because we need to go find that. The Ancient of Days did come and sit where on his throne. And this was his appearance. Go to Revelation chapter 20. The book of Revelation chapter 20. And we're going to get verses 11 through 15. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne. And him, now here is his throne. I saw a great white throne. But this throne is on fire, trust me. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before who? Elohim. And the books were opened. Who's on the throne? Elohim. But we're told that Messiah is the one doing the judging. Till all this is done from the position of Messiah, he's going to be doing the judging. And he's the one sitting on the throne. Stand before Elohim, and the books were opened. Isaiah just told you, or was that Ezekiel? Yeah, Isaiah, Daniel just told you that the books were open. Okay? The Ancient of Days did come and sit, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to their work. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But the one who came to sit down was the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days has the same description as Messiah in Revelation chapter 1. Now, let's go see if that holds true. Let's go see if another prophet says the same thing. If the Most High showed himself to another prophet. Go to Ezekiel chapter 1. The book of Ezekiel chapter 1. Let's get verses 25 through 28. Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 25 through 28. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their head. Now, to lay this out for you real quick without us reading verses 1 through 24, Ezekiel sees these angels coming like a whirlwind, and they're darting here and there like lightning. And when they get up close, he describes them to a detail, you know, in detail. And now he's saying above these angels in verse 25, there is a space, a firmament, a space above the angels on a platform. There's a platform and there's a space above this platform, okay? And so he's going to describe who's up on this platform, on this throne. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament there was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. Here's the throne of the Most High. As the appearance of a sapphire stone. And when you look at sapphire, sapphire is not always green or blue. They have some reddish or orangish red sapphire. I had to go look it up and find it. Looks like the color of fire, just like the color of amber. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as of the appearance of a man above it. So he's telling you that the Most High looks like a man. Just like when it talks about the Son of God, the Son of Elohim or Messiah, it always says the Son of Man. He says there was one on top of this throne that had the appearance of a man. Didn't look like an angel. Didn't look like, you know, a four-headed angel with the head of a calf and of a man and of an eagle and whatever else that other head is. This looks like a man. And I saw as the color of amber. And when you look at amber, it has that reddish-orange color to it, like fire. As the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, he looked like this amber color, this fire color, this glowing red color, reddish-orange, like hot molten steel or rock. Appearance of his loins even downward, head to toe. And I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire. And it had the bright, and it had brightness round about it. It glowed. He glowed. He's giving us the same description, just in a different way. And at the appearance of the bow that was in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about it. So now we got around the throne what? It looks like a rainbow. All these different colors of the rainbow. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Yah. Who is he looking at? Yah. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. So here we have another testimony. The appearance of the Most High, the appearance of Messiah in the natural form. It's like a glowing hot lava. And it glows and it shines and it's as bright as the sun. And when we see him in his natural form, this is what we're going to see. And we're going to glow like that too when we get changed, when we put on our spiritual body, or we're going to be like him. We're going to be like him spiritually. We're going to be like him mentally. We got to pass the test. We got to do what he says to do. We got to become like him, because I'm going to convert you. I'm going to transform you to look like me. You're going to look like fire. And you're going to glow. That's why I said, I don't think Moses was glowing white. But he's glowing this same color, like amber or reddish orange. And the people ran. We see a ghost. We see, I don't know what we see, but Moses had to call to him. Come back. Come back. It's me. It's Moses. We're going to be that same way. Stop here. I have some other verses, but we are at the top of the hour. Understand that when Messiah comes and we are converted, we can't be in his presence in our natural form. The only way that he can reveal to us in this state, in our natural form, in his natural form, is to give us a vision and then appear to us in a way that we can stand before him, like the prophets did, like Moses did, like Ezekiel did. Daniel saw it in a vision. You and I can probably see it in a dream or a vision. see him in his natural form if he wanted to reveal himself to us in his natural form. But when he came to the earth as a man, and you knew him as the Son of Man, the Messiah, he revealed himself to Peter and John on top of the Mount of Transfiguration in a form that he glowed like the sun. And he still didn't put on his full glory because he would have consumed them. But it was to show them who he was. Now we have a promise. Everybody go back to 1 John chapter 3. Because if this is not enough, as I said, just knowing that you are the child of Messiah, the child of the Most High, just knowing that, if that's not enough to make you stop sinning and to keep you, nothing will make you stop sinning. Nothing. You got to value who you are in Messiah. You got to value what it is that he's done for us. And it's got to be the most valuable thing in your life. You can't have anything more valuable than this. You can't possess anything more valuable than this. And what would you allow to take this from you? Who would you allow to take this from you? To cause you your salvation? To cause you to lose this promise? Anybody or anything worth that? Even your own self. John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim, not becoming the sons of Elohim. Now are we the sons of Elohim. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, when Messiah shall appear in the sky with the shout of the archangel, he says, and in the twinkling of an eye, you will go from corruptible to incorruptible, from mortal to immortal. In the twinkling of an eye, if you bat your eye, that's how fast it's going to happen. Your eye closed, you were mortal. Your eye opened back up, you immortal. And when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And we don't have time for the verses right now. And like I said, I don't want to keep you over that long tonight. But I'll get the verses that show you that he's going to appear in the sky. He's going to cause the sun and the moon to be darkened out, and all the world will see him coming. He will be the only light in the sky. He's going to come in his natural form, shining, bright. The sun won't even be able to compete. The moon won't be able to compete. He's going to change us like he is. Can you imagine that day if we are alive happening? If we are alive and see that happening, we for sure want to be on his good side. Because when he come back, he ain't playing, and it's going to be too late. Today, while there is yet time, if you need to repent, repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Don't let anything keep you from this. make yourself available that the Most High can choose you. He's doing the calling. Many are called. I don't think we ever hear that few. Few are chosen. Everybody ain't chosen. Everybody ain't his child. Everybody ain't obedient. And we want to make excuses. I can't be that holy. Can't be that perfect. He's not telling us to do anything that we're not able to do. He didn't say it was going to be easy. But you got to want it with your whole heart. That's the only way that is possible. You got to want it with your whole heart. You got to be willing to put your all into it. The only way that you can do it. You cannot achieve the kingdom making the Most High second or third in your life. Cannot. You won't be able to make it. And I don't know why people aren't telling us this, why they're not telling us this in the church. Thinking that we can, you know, we live our lives and we do the best we can and you know, all we got to do is say Jesus is my Savior or Yeshua is my Savior and that's it. That ain't what he said. And if I were you, I would go by what he said. If you love anybody or anything more than you love me, you cannot be my disciple. And if you're going around doing miracles and I'm not number one in your life, you just use my name and demons tremble at my name and you thinking that you got power and you thinking I'm with you, I'm going to tell you, get away from me. You worker of iniquity, I knew you not. You didn't give me what I wanted. You didn't obey my commandments. You didn't keep my laws. Found every excuse not to do so. And said that I had to be forgiving and merciful and accept you. I have mercy on them that love me. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments. How do you say you love me and do not what I say? Let us bow our heads. Father Yah. Most gracious and most merciful and most loving Elohim. There is none like you. No, not one. And you have said that you have called us to perfection. You have called us to holiness. And that we should strive to be like you. That you're an example in the world. You came into the world. You got angry, but you didn't sin. And you said that we are able to do the same thing by your Spirit. Father, if there be any that are not filled with your Spirit, Father, as they ask you and as they repent, fill them with your Spirit, Father. Give them the power that they need to walk holy before you. That when you should appear in the sky, that by your Spirit, we will be resurrected or changed in the moment and in the twinkling of an eye. For you have said it. And as Messiah has said, as it is written, it is written. So, Father, we repeat your word that you have said. Unto you. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8. And I want each and every person to go there. The the book of Romans, chapter 8. I'm going to start in verse 1, and we're going to include these words in our prayer. There is therefore now, starting in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Yeshua HaMashiach, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of Elohim, after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Mashiach, in HaMashiach Yeshua, has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. The law wasn't weak. It was our flesh that was weak. It is our flesh today that is weak, Father. Strengthen us, Father, in our flesh, that we would not wholly live just solely for our flesh. Elohim sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. Stop walking after your flesh, but after the Spirit of the Most High. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You got to be mindful of the things of the Most High. Got to be number one, Father. Help them to be number one in our lives. Help you to be number one in our lives. That we would mind your things. And we will walk after your things. That we would praise your things and not the things of this world. For to be carnally or worldly minded is death. Minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded is to be filled by the Spirit of the Most High and to have his mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. The mind of the Most High. Not us thinking we're all spiritual, Father, but that we would have your mind. Give us your mind. That we would walk in your way. Because to be carnally or worldly minded is hatred, is enmity, hatred against Elohim. For it is not subject to the law of Elohim. When you are carnal minded, you are not subject to the law of Elohim. That's why the church is carnal minded. That's why the Christian churches and those churches that say they are not up under the law are carnal. And they don't know it. So they say themselves that they are not subject to the laws of Elohim. The carnal mind says that. Neither indeed can be. So they're saying they're walking in the Spirit, but they don't keep the laws of the Most High. Because they're not to the laws of the Most High. Because they say they are not subject to the laws of the Most High. Then are they carnal. Father, if that spirit be in any one of us, remove it even right now. Command you to depart. You foul and wicked and evil spirit. You lying spirit. And replace it with your spirit, Father. Because that carnal spirit will tell them that they are not subject to your laws. They don't have to keep your laws. Carnal mind cannot please Elohim. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please Elohim. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. How? If so be that the Spirit of Elohim dwell in you. Who is the Holy Spirit? It is the Spirit of Elohim. Father, if there be any right now who are under the sound of my voice, who have not received your spirit as they ask you, Father, according to your perfect will, according to their heart. Fill them even right now with signs following so that they know that they know, Father, that they don't have to guess, but that they know that they know that you have chosen them and that they are indeed blessed to be enough to stop them from doing whatever sin that they struggle with. Even as I speak, Father, make it so. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of Elohim dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, the spirit of Christ is the spirit of Elohim. They are one and the same. And you got to understand his power and his wisdom to save you. That's what Christ is. The power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. If that spirit be not in you, then you are none of his. You are none of his. So you got to have his spirit. And Father, as I pray, as they ask, Father, as they submit themselves, fill them with your spirit. Fill them with the spirit of Christ. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, if the spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ, Yeshua, HaMashiach, from the dead, shall also quicken or give your mortal bodies life. How? By his spirit that dwells in you. You cannot do this without the spirit of the Most High. You are not his child without having his spirit. And it's by his spirit that he will raise you from the dead. How he will give your mortal body life by his spirit that dwells in you. Because his spirit will be with you even in the grave, even in your bones. His spirit will not leave you or forsake you. Father, make it so. All that call upon your name and truly repent and turn from their wicked ways so that they can be like you, Father. So they can be like you. All those that desire to truly be like you, Father, who will give their all, their whole heart, who will forsake all for your kingdom, do it for them even as I speak, Father. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the only name whereby men must be saved. Do it in his name, Father, for your glory. Amen. All right. Don't know what the word's going to be tomorrow. The Most High will give it to me tonight, as he always does. We're not going to continue in this precept. I don't have it on my heart to continue within this one. I think I've shown you enough in the Word that the Most High has a color. He has an appearance. If we're going to be like him, we are his children, and his children will look like him. We will be converted in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We shall be like him. You got to want to be like him, truly want to be like him, and to walk in his ways and to be obedient, not disobedient. And obedience is not sinning, not transgressing his laws, his statutes, his commandments. Be ye perfect, for I am perfect. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Let us listen to this song as we dismiss on this evening. Take it to heart.
Yeah.
May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe and from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. I can only tell you what thus saith Yah Elohim. Happy Sabbath, family, and shalom.
Peace and blessings.